You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
If you can close your eyes for just a moment. I've been receiving this morning. There's so much life that's been going on in this room, giving and receiving. And I love that you include your children and grandchildren in worship. That's shaping them for life, that you would include them in communion and in worship and in fellowship. Would you take the next, 25, 30 seconds and let Jesus be your center? I want to read this while your eyes are still closed. And it's a prayer. And it, for me, it's let your reign be here. R-E-I-G-N. Let your reign be here. Let your will be accomplished as it is in heaven. Welcome. 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 I welcome everything that comes to me today because I know it is for my healing. I welcome thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. I let go of my desire for power and control. I let go of my desire for affection and esteem. I let go of my desire for survival and security. I let go of my desire to change any situation, condition, person, or even myself. I open to the love and presence of God and the healing action and grace within. And with that in mind, I say to you, good morning. That's what this is. We are in an altar moment in this community's life. It's not just about these two, but it is about the work that God is doing here. And to have, I've been on staff, at, greetings from Pasadena, by the way. It's where I'm from. It's where my wife is right now. She wanted to be here this weekend. In October, she fractured her patella, her kneecap, in half. So she, and recovery has been a little iffy. So unfortunately, on Friday, she had to go back in under, and they had to stretch all the muscles in her knee. Because they're not, it's not been healing properly. But she really wanted to be here. In fact, can we get the slides up? Thank you. We'll address that in just a second. If you can get to slide 2, please. I hope you don't mind. This is us in Scotland, and I hope this doesn't offend anybody's sensibilities. We're on the Harry Potter train right here. This is the train that leads to Hogwarts, and Hogwarts is in Scotland. So it was super cool to be able to take the train and see the bridge that you see in the first two movies. Very cool. But I want to say to you, I hope you're able to receive me as a friend and brother this weekend. And yes, my role for the staff members here is one of being a spiritual director. And yes, I'm thankful that Pastor Louis is giving an idea of what that is, because what it doesn't mean is that there's a hierarchy to the relationship, or that I'm the expert. It means that I am the sole companion of those that I'm with. And thankfully, he doesn't give Chris or Cassidy an option. I am forcibly their sole companions. So I try to be the best that I can be in that regard for them. But let me just say just real briefly what I mean when I say spiritual direction, because spiritual direction is sole companionship. And in Celtic Christianity, if we can go to the third slide, thanks. In Celtic Christianity, it's called Anamkara. Anamkara, soul friendship. And it doesn't mean that I'm doing the directing, Jesus does the directing, but what it means is that I cultivate safe space for a person to be who they are as they are, not who they could be or as they should be. How many here know what it's like to be seen as you really are and what a gift that can be? That's what this is. It doesn't make me the expert. It makes me the listener. It makes my role or my service to the other as an opportunity to connect with God in a deeper way because we've met, to grow. I like to call it a caregiver. And I want to say this really quickly. I do meet with people who are not clergy, who come in for spiritual direction, but my niche really is ministry for those that are clergy, because we have a lot of ministry for pastors who fall off the cliff, and those are necessary. We need them. To be a pastor is sometimes often not to be human. We are expected, the studies have shown that we are expected to wear 72 different hats and to wear them perfectly. How many of us here in this room have a role, have a vocation where you're expected to wear 72 hats perfectly? Most of the time it's 3, maybe 5 tops. And so it can be very hazardous to your health in every way to be a pastor. And what I like about this ministry is that I kind of call it a guardrail ministry. There are cliffs, to be sure, but this can serve as a way to keep us from falling off the cliff. Because for that hour out of the month, and I'm also available for beyond that, but for that hour faithfully meeting, they get to just take off all those 72 hats and just be a human and be received as such. So 20 years really is about soul friendship. And I hope that stories do get shared this morning about how you have helped each other not fall off the cliff. How you have been anamkara for each other, how you have been friends with and for one another, because we're wired for connection. Can we go to slide 4? I hope that you can see this. Our brains are wired for connection, but trauma rewires them for protection. That's why healthy relationships are difficult for wounded people. That's a very profound statement, because that's all of us. We're all wounded people, right? And in the Jesus family, we practice vulnerability with one another so that that trauma can get rewired back to connection instead of protection. Too often, the church has kind of mirrored the values of the world when it comes to friendships, right? Posturing, lack of vulnerability, lack of trust. We kind of bring the same emotional wounds we had before we were in the church. And what the Jesus family is trying to do is, no, let's lay that down so that we are a healing presence in each other's lives. No longer, in this space at least, wired for protection, but wired for connection. Now, in our community, I can get very, very Pentecostal and expect some kind of response. And I feel like that one is worthy of some kind of response, that in this space, we are not to be practicing protection, but connection. Yeah. Thank you. That is anamkara. See, that's soul friendship. Jesus said it in this way. Slide 5, please. This is the way to have infinite eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one that you sent to earth. The word know in Greek, gnosko, it means to not just have information about, but to know and to be known. And there's a big difference between the two. Pop religion has kind of gotten away with Jesus as information. Memorize this information and your soul is good. It's not working anymore. If our emotional life is not becoming more literate, more potent, if we're spiritually stagnant and we're not expanding as people through vulnerability, through connection, we're beginning to see that our lack is not really addressing the more important issues of life. Saving souls is great, but if you're not healed, so what? We're living in a world right now that desperately needs Jesus followers to be emotionally whole people. people. Right? Not phony, not fake. And I'm not, that's not an accusation. It's why I didn't keep the lightsaber and point it at you, right? When I had to give it back to Pastor Louis. But the word gnosko literally means to enter into the process of knowing and being known. In fact, the story that Pastor Louis just shared from 2002, I think you said it was, that is the process of knowing and being known. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. Will you stand? Do you feel the process, the transmission that took place there? Knowing and being known, even in a place of deep wound and pain, Jesus said, I know your pain. I know your pain. Are you willing to enter into relationship with me in a way that you will allow me to hold you in your pain? And guess what? It doesn't end there. It starts there. Because that healing was for us too. That's the way healing works, by the way. Did you know that? Healing is a network. When a person becomes healed, it doesn't just... You read the Gospels, every single time a person gets healed, almost every single time, almost without exception, Jesus says, get back to your home of origin. Live this good news out. Because it wasn't just for you. It's a testimony to the whole community. In America, we prize individualism over our collective. There's some good to that, but there's also some drawback. Because we think that we can grow in a vacuum. That's the lie. Especially in the spiritual life. Now, if you were PFC, I'd be saying, you ain't shouting like I'm preaching. Slide 6, please. Jesus said it in this way, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. This is a profoundly integrated statement because he's not leaving any category of who you are behind. He is saying your heart, by the way, your heart is like an antenna or a radar. It has the capacity, you, he, she, you have the capacity in your heart to receive divine messages, for lack of a better word. That could, and if you're not this morning, it's possible for a system upgrade. And this is how it happens. You connect with another person and say, my heart, my antenna's not working right now. I'm not receiving those messages. It doesn't happen because you and I have some kind of transaction, like everybody close your eyes, look at me. I'm not mocking that, but it has to be deeper than that. It has to be through vulnerability, going to and humility, saying, I'm not receiving those messages right now. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? To love the Lord with all your soul. This is a hard one. You don't know me. you know maybe a little bit about me, so I want to be careful not to get too, for lack of a better word, metaphysical. Your soul is connected to God. Your soul is made up of God stuff. To love God with all of your soul is almost a silly statement because your soul already loves God. If you're not aware of that love, that's what's at stake. Because the infinite source of love, God, fashioned your soul. Your soul is what responds to God when you experience, say, love or connection or safety or being held. Your soul already is infinitely in love with God. And again, what's at stake is if we're not growing in our capacity to experience that, that's what the invitation is to grow in, to do soulful work, to not stunt our growth because we view belief in God as an end in itself. That's the starting place. It's not the ending place. Can you feel the difference? Because belief in God is nice, but you can believe in God and still be the same rancorous person you always were, right? And not really have a transformed, sensitive heart. And that's not what we've been called to live ourselves into. By the way, when you love God with all your soul, forgiveness is possible. Forgiveness is not only possible, it's almost gratuitous or ubiquitous. It's profoundly possible. Because your soul is made up of eternity. It's deep calling unto deep. So to love God with all of your body, this is a really fun one. Here's a little thought bomb I'd like to deposit your way. Can your body be tomorrow? Can your body in this moment be yesterday? Right? Your body can't be in any other time zone than right now. So your body is a tremendous support for God having access to your life. And sort of it's in popular language right now, the term being present has become more acceptable. It's fascinating. Your body cannot be in any other time zone than right now. Where can God get at you? When can God get at you? Tomorrow? Yesterday? Right now. In Greek thought, this is another one. I hope you like thought bombs. I love thought bombs. In Greek thought, there was two ways of experiencing time. Chronos, linear time. Kairos, the living moment. Infinite now. Eternal now, right now. I think the third thing that they missed is that time is also cumulative. So if you take linear time and you take the eternal now, you also have to include time as a cumulative. In other words, a lot of teachers in sort of pop spirituality say you just got to live in the moment. Okay, but what that ends up doing is saying you don't have to learn anything new. It's okay to be a present. That's true. But this means that every single point of pain or point of trauma or point of experience where you've felt yourself fractured, you're bringing that with you. And in the present moment, you're allowing God to be able to say, I can heal that too. And I'm not going to heal that in a vacuum. I'm going to heal that through the process of relationship. If you've been hurt by a father, you're going to be healed by a father. If you've been hurt by a mother, you will be healed by a mother. You cannot get away with it. And that's the fallacy in a lot of religion, is that you can get away with it. And that's not true. If you've been hurt by church, you're going to be healed by church. If you've been hurt by someone whom you loved, you're going to be healed by someone whom you love. That is the way it works. So your body is a tremendous support in experiencing time, not just as linear, and almost like the testimony that was shared earlier. It's like, well, this is the trajectory that it's been on, and there's a temptation to just kind of keep dragging that cynicism forward, right? But when you experience time as chronos, kairos, and accumulative, you're bringing it all with you, and God can address it in real time. That's not in my notes. That one's for free. But it's important that we understand. To love God with your mind, this is probably one of the hardest things, because it really requires us to train our thinking. And if you really pay attention to your brain, we're actually not doing a lot of thinking. We're rehearsing a lot of things, right? Old wounds, telling somebody off in your head, right? Oh, that would really get them. I mean, how many arguments have you won in the shower? Be honest about it. You defeated that person completely. By the way, don't do this when you drive, for crying out loud, and use your blinkers, please. Being on the road is not the time to do this work, okay? But what you can't, the training of the mind that's referred to in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, is literally allowing your thinking to, A, be focused on important things. This is why memorizing scripture is important, but not just memorizing it so you can use it as a weapon. Memorizing scripture so that it's continually like cleaning the filter by which you and I see life. To go through it slowly so that it's reading you rather than you reading it. To take a verse like, be still and know I am God. And to literally say it so slowly that you're retraining your mind for loving God rather than thinking about God. You understand what I'm like? It's literally giving your a new way of thinking and a new way of being in the world. That the next time a painful memory comes up, you don't shunt it or explain it or analyze it, but you sit with the presence of Jesus and say, how do you want me to process this memory? How can I process this pain in the light of your presence? And then again, not stopping there, but bringing it to someone whom you love and trust and say, I've been this memory's been haunting me. Can you listen to me for just 10 minutes, 20 minutes while I process this with you? And when, this is good spiritual director stuff here, you're not allowed to fix them. Don't even advise them. Just love them as they are. Don't you appreciate that? Don't you appreciate when so? No, I don't. My wife's not here. This is really bad. I hope she doesn't listen to this. I don't know. I'll tell her that I said it. But there's times where it's like, sweetheart, I don't need you to fix me right now. I just need you to hear me. And she'll have to say the same thing to me, right? Because that's our tendency. We want to, okay, let's look for the silver lining. No, let's not. You let Jesus do that. Your job is just to listen and to love and to care. So let me just say it this way. Anamkara, slide 7, if we're not already on it. Loving God is one matter. I say falling impossibly in love with God is something completely different. Can you feel the difference? What can kind of happen in today's modern context is that spirituality is something you kind of do on Sundays or in the morning. But really, what the whole point is that my whole life is a prayer, not something I say, something I am. And so in the sense, when God is becoming our Anamkara, and that's not somehow in juxtaposition to others becoming our Anamkara, our soul friends, falling in love with God means that, it's this. If you're a Jesus follower, I tend to like that phrase better than Christian, because the word Christian now is synonymous with things that aren't like Christ at all. We're known more for what we stand against than what we stand for. We're known more for building walls than bridges. Don't mean to step on any toes here. That wasn't political, that was relational, okay? You deal with politics on your own time. But let me say it in this way. When you fall in love, what does that look like, right? You spend time with each other. You find out what makes the other person light up. You exchange thoughts on a lot of things. You learn about each other and you soak up the extraordinary discoveries of that person's true nature, right? We fall in love by seeing something in the other that we want in ourselves. We fall in love by experiencing something that completes us. And by the way, if you can do that with a broken, messy other human being, how much more can you do that with someone whose infinite nature is love, right? That's the way it works. Slide 8. I hope you don't mind this. I know we're all protesters. But let me just offer this, because I'm going to quote a Roman Catholic here in just a minute.
What?
Yeah, I know. I'm sure that's never happened here before. We won the argument, so can we stop protesting? We won the argument, okay? We needed a two-party system to keep each other honest, but guess what happened? We became so argumentative that now we're like a 40,000-party system, each denomination breaking off from another one, believing they're more right than the previous iteration. I was at a Roman Catholic monastery some years ago, and the Franciscan that was there said, we Roman Catholics, and especially us Franciscans, we feel like we're your grandparents. And he almost got a tear in his eye. He said, but do you love your grandparents? Now, I love Grandpa and Grandma Pinkston, so it wasn't hard for me to answer that question, right? Do I agree with Grandpa and Grandma Pinkston on every subject? Is that even necessary? Of course not. My grandpa and I are like on the opposite end of many spectrums. But I love my grandpa, right? And I think there's some wisdom that we can learn from our grandparents, our spiritual grandparents, and not just toss the whole thing out, right? There's things that we disagree with. So what? In the grand scheme of things, if you're in love with Jesus, let's get along. So St. Augustine said it this way. To fall in love with God is the greatest romance. To seek God, the greatest adventure. To find God, the greatest human achievement. That's a trustworthy saying, if you ask me. And I like it to say it this way. If your image of God isn't growing you, you're probably, the image has become an idol. And it's time to take that idol off the altar of your heart and just let it burn. Time for something new to show up. And the infinite face of God, right, means that we never run out of growing towards a greater understanding of who God is. I also like to say it this way. If your image of God isn't making you more loving, we're in trouble. That image has to expand us, has to grow us. Pedro Arrupe, a Spanish Jesuit, said it in this way. Nothing is more practical than finding God. It's the next slide. Than falling in love in a quite absolute final way. What you are in love with, what seizes your imagination, will affect everything. It will decide what will get you out of bed in the morning, what you do with your evenings, how you spend your weekends, what you read, whom you know, what breaks your heart, and what amazes you with joy and gratitude. Fall in love, stay in love, and it will decide everything. Isn't that beautiful? May it be said of us. I'm going to edit slide 10. I'm not going to do it. It's really good. You would buy my book afterwards had I made one. Let's go to slide 11. Anamkara is a journey about soul friendship at every level. It includes our story, the people that we're connected to. It includes support and discernment. Love not as analysis, but love as engagement. Anamkara is a journey. It's not a one and done. Pentecostals, we have to challenge ourselves because we can kind of cave into magical thinking. Like if I can just get into that ultimate prayer service and hear the ultimate worship song. No pressure, Chris. Just bring it every week. The ultimate worship set, right? One and done. It's all good. I don't have to do the hard work of emotionally growing up. I just need to get into that right spiritual stance. I'm not being cynical. I have those moments in my life, and I love those moments in my life. But I can't give in to magical thinking. I have to do the hard work of showing up and being vulnerable and loving those around me and allowing them to love me. Again, this isn't my notes, but the next time someone affirms you, I challenge you to receive it. Because what I've run into over the years, and it's certainly been true in my life, the nanosecond someone says something life-affirming to me, I've already excused it. In a way that I don't have to receive it. They don't mean it. Nobody loves others like I do. They certainly don't love me the way that I love them. Come on now. It's true. We all think we love others more than they love us. And the reason why we do that is because you're not receiving it. I'm not receiving it. And when it shows up, we excuse it. That's not heading towards healing and wholeness, but that's Anamkara. That's what we've been invited into, is a soul friendship that to be a follower of Jesus is to be his student. To be his student means that you are being apprenticed into his experience of God. What was Jesus' experience of God? If this was my church, we'd move into a Q&A right now because I want to hear your thoughts. What was his experience of God? Because if you're his student, you are being invited, and I am being invited to move into that experience. Woo! If that's not good news, I don't know what is. Forgiveness is awesome. It starts there, but it doesn't end there. It's a whole process and a whole journey. It's not a one and done. It's not about using each other for security and temporal pleasure. It's about growth, transformation, and clarifying what we want the human journey to be about. So I'm thankful to be connected to these pastors and to this staff. I'll just take the risk. When you create a culture of pastoral care, you're creating a community of care. And the days of the superhero pastor have come to a close. Leave it for the movie theaters. It doesn't apply in this context. We are not superheroes. We're human beings on, and We're on the journey together. We're on the journey together. And be thankful that there's a culture of care on this staff, because that applies to you. I'll finish with this. And this is from John O'Donohue, who wrote this this blessing, and it's called Anamkara. You know what? Can we do this? This may make some uncomfortable. I won't go long. It's not a long prayer at all. But would you, unless you're super uncomfortable with this, I'm like hyper introverted. This is not a comfortable thing for me. But would you grab the hand of the person next to you as a point of connection? If you're with a spouse, this is easy. If you're visiting, God bless you. God help you. I won't make this long. But it's really important that we understand we're connected. And if you're feeling, okay, let go for just a second, because I need to go off just here for a minute. If you're feeling disconnected, this is a great way to know that you're connected. To know that you're connected is to actually have that safe touch of hand with hand. Okay? You can be secure just as you are, but be connected in that way. We live in a disconnected world. I mean, we're connected digitally, but emotionally, relationally, we're facing greater disconnection than ever. Let it be said of us that we model what connection looks like. Does that make sense? So we can still be messy and broken, but we're in the process of becoming whole through connection. Let's go ahead and grab the hand of the person next to us here. And I'll finish with this prayer. May you be blessed with good friends. May you learn to be a good friend to yourself. May you be able to journey to that place in your soul where there is great love, warmth, feeling, and forgiveness. May this change you. May it transfigure that which is negative, distant, or cold in you. May you be brought into real passion, kinship, and affinity of belonging. May you treasure your friends. May you be good to them. And may you be there for them. May they bring you all the blessings, challenges, truth, and light that you need for your journey. May you never be isolated. May you always be gentle. May you always be in the gentle nest of belonging with your Anamkara. Amen. Thank you.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's web@hillside4.org.